With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. State legislators are directing the spending of the remaining federal coronavirus relief dollars given to South Dakota. Governor Kristi Noem opened up a special session with a speech about what the state has gone through since lawmakers were last convened in March. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
South Dakota averaged 11 cases a day when the legislature met on that veto day. Now, the state averages 450 new cases of COVID-19. The state received $1.25 billion in CARES Act relief money. About $600 million remains unspent. Governor Kristi Noem and some state lawmakers hoped for an extension to spend the CARES Act dollars.
So I'll keep pushing Congress to provide greater flexibility, especially as it relates to the deadline. And they may come back, they may pass something before the upcoming election, or even in the lame duck session. But that's why whatever you adopt needs to be flexible. It should account for whether Congress acts or if it doesn't act.
Governor Noem has already spent $500 per student to help schools to the tune of $75 million. That includes public and private school students. An amendment to add tribal school students to that was rejected. Earlier this year, Noem proposed a $400 million small business grant initiative. Lawmakers approved that ask. Businesses who've seen a 25% decline are eligible for the grant. Legislators approved $115 million for the state's Medicaid providers. They also approved $10 million in rental assistance. Lawmakers rejected proposals to ramp up COVID-19 testing and contact tracing and a $10 million meat processing expansion grant. The state has until December 30th to spend its allotted money. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
Coronavirus cases continue to rise in and around Sioux Falls. Minnehaha and Lincoln counties make up 25% of the state's total active cases. Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Tenhaken is not pursuing a citywide mask mandate, but he is encouraging businesses and individuals to double down on COVID-19 prevention measures. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
Mayor Tenhaken says all 1,300 city employees are now required to wear masks in an effort to prevent spreading the coronavirus. As for a citywide mandate,
you will not see my administration mandating any mask-wearing requirements at this time.
In mid-August, Mayor Tenhaken said he'd consider a mask mandate if each Sioux Falls hospital exceeded 40 COVID-19 patients. At that time, there were 33 COVID hospitalizations in Sioux Falls. Now, there are 110, but leaders from Sanford and Avera assure the public there's adequate space. During a media briefing on Monday, Mayor Tenhaken urged a region-wide effort to limit further spread. City Public Health Director Jill Franken points to upward trends of active cases and hospitalizations.
Bottom line, we've got to reverse these trends. Mitigating the spread of this virus and being able to get a handle on this is really, it's the essence of public health. It's the public's responsibility to do what we need to do to reverse this trend.
She urges people to continue following good respiratory hygiene and to isolate if feeling sick.
And if you're in a situation where you cannot physically distance, you must wear a mask. I really cannot stress that enough right now.
Mayor Tenhaken says masks are also a workforce issue. He says a city department recently met in a room without masks, and one of the employees later tested positive for COVID-19.
I now have an entire department. It's a six-person department, five people out. Quarantine.
Tenhaken hopes other businesses will follow the city's example by requiring masks and other precautions. He maintains individual responsibility is the best option to keep the community healthy. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
The South Dakota Supreme Court started its October term at the University of South Dakota School of Law yesterday. The High Court is hearing oral arguments for 3 days. The first day ended with an appeal from a retired highway patrolman who was shot during an armed standoff in January 2015 by a schizophrenic man who was off his medication. The patrolman says the shooter's mother is liable, not because she failed to stop her son's behavior, but because she helped to cause it. Victoria Wicks has coverage of this case for SDPB.
In January 2015, over the course of 3 days, Donald London spiraled out of control. He was drinking heavily and crying over the phone to his mother, Bonnie, about his inability to stop grieving the death of his wife that occurred 3 years earlier. Andrew Fick represents John Koenig, the highway patrolman shot during the culmination of Donald's crisis.
Bonnie knew that Donald was a paranoid schizophrenic who suffered from PTSD and had delusional beliefs that the police had taken his wife hostage, that the police were after him.
On the day of the standoff, Fick maintains that Bonnie told Donald on the phone that the ATF was going to arrive at the Brule County farmhouse where Donald was staying and take away his guns. And Fick says Bonnie should have known that statement would escalate the crisis.
It was foreseeable that Bonnie's actions would combine with a third party's misconduct to cause a harm.
Bonnie's lawyer, Aaron Fox, tells justices that if Bonnie should have foreseen violence, she's not alone. She had joined with her ex-husband Mike in trying to help Donald for 2 days before the shooting.
And there's law enforcement, and there's Dakota Counseling, and there's the Chamberlain Mental Health Board, because they all knew what was going on. They all knew that Donald was struggling with his mental health.
He says all these entities engaged in some action, most notably letting Donald out into the community.
And they all have one thing in common, justices. None of them controlled Donald and his intentional and lawful conduct.
Fox says Koenig's central allegation is that Bonnie told Donald the ATF was coming for his guns, but Fox says that claim results from hearsay on top of hearsay and is therefore not reliable. Justices will issue an opinion at a later date. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
Marijuana is on the ballot this year in South Dakota. In fact, there are two initiatives to legalize pot for different uses. One ballot measure allows both medical and recreational marijuana. The other initiative legalizes marijuana for medical use only. That one has support from more than 70% of South Dakota voters, but the State Medical Association and some in law enforcement oppose it. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
At a young age, Roger and Janice Knutson's son, Kai, started getting seizures.
From age 2 to high school, we just dealt with seizure after seizure, sometimes 1,000 a day.
Kai was diagnosed with a rare and serious form of epilepsy that starts in childhood and persists into adulthood. Once Kai was out of high school, the Rapid City family found a medication that worked for about 5 years.
Then his seizures started up again.
By then, Kai was taller and larger, and his falls created injuries.
He's had broken teeth, a broken shoulder, broken elbow, head injuries, stitches. I can't even tell you how many times stitches.
Yeah, just the worry about falling in front of a bus, falling down some stairs.
For 9 years, Dr. Roger Knutson and his wife watched as their son's condition declined. Every year, they would meet with Kai's doctor at the University of Minnesota. They would ask about medical marijuana, which is legal in Minnesota.
But we could not get it because we did not have a certificate, and Kai was not a resident of Minnesota. I've heard people say, why don't you move? Well, that means uprooting the whole family with jobs, insurance, Kai's programming here. It just didn't seem like it would work to move to Minnesota.
So they waited until the FDA approved a drug made from purified cannabidiol, or CBD, in 2017. Kai's condition is one of three the drug is approved for. 2 weeks later, Kai Knutson started taking the medication, and he's been doing better ever since. Because of their experience, the Knutsons support medical marijuana for South Dakota.
I just wonder a lot how many other diagnoses there are out there that people are suffering and waiting to have medication for.
Ballot Measure 26 would allow South Dakotans to use marijuana to treat 7 medical conditions. It could include additional medical conditions added later by the State Department of Health. A patient would need a doctor's prescription to obtain small amounts of cannabis for personal use. The South Dakota State Medical Association is against legalizing medical marijuana. Dr. Benjamin Aker is the president of the group.
There are a lot of very strong and loud voices that are calling for the legalization of medical marijuana.
However, Aker says he wants more research to prove medical marijuana is helpful.
And if it could be found that some drug, for instance, medical marijuana, was helpful yet not harmful, then that would be something that the State Medical Association would be likely to support. But our group found that there was more harm than benefit to expanding medical marijuana.
He says the FDA has already approved a few drugs that contain THC. That's the intoxicant compound found in cannabis. Aker says those are already options for prospective patients. Other opponents point to states like Colorado. There, 92% of patients approved for medical marijuana use it to treat severe pain. Just 3.5% use it to control seizures. Captain Tony Harrison is a former drug interdiction officer with the Pennington County Sheriff's Office. He opposes medical marijuana. Specifically, he takes issue with the large number of people in other states who use cannabis to treat conditions like severe pain.
And why would we want to give an entire community a narcotic that alters the way your brain develops and your operative vehicle, and you make decisions for such a small percentage, right?
North Dakota legalized medical marijuana in 2016. That ballot measure approved its use for 12 medical conditions. State lawmakers have added 14 more. A patient needs a prescription from a licensed doctor. There are about 3,800 patients registered overall in the North Dakota program. Compared to other states, that's tiny. In fact, Colorado's medical marijuana program registered more patients just in the month of August. Jason Wall is the director of North Dakota's medical marijuana program. He says the department can review medical records of patients.
And if we were doing a review of medical records, we would need to see, you know, the appropriate documentation in that medical record to support what the healthcare provider identified on that written certification.
Wall says the most common condition for medical marijuana in North Dakota is anxiety disorder, followed by chronic back pain. The Knutson family in Rapid City says they have slowly scaled back the epilepsy medications their son Kai has been on for years. Janice says they see a big change.
As we reduce the other medications, I'm getting my son back.
The Knutsons hope other families will get that same chance in the future. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.